It's Tuesday, February 28th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about the Penny Arcade collectible card game.
Let's do this!
Alright, so yesterday I talked about Lestal. And a few of the things I said were either slightly incorrect, or they changed overnight, literally.
Now, I have a quote from Scott that he said this on the show a couple weeks ago. I could play it if you really wanted, but I have to dig it up. But I believe the words were, "I am infallible."
Perhaps.
Are you indeed infallible, Scott?
If I said it, I guess yeah.
But you said now that you were a little bit incorrect about some things.
Well, no, it wasn't incorrect, it was incomplete. As in, there was either things I didn't know or things which changed since then to now, because Lestal changes so fast.
All right, so what's up?
So literally, remember I said you couldn't add anything manually?
Now you can?
Now you can. You can just go and type in a video game. So NES games, ahoy. And the second thing, they added a new tab, the movies tab. So now any movie that's an IMDb somewhere, you can say, I've watched it, or I want to watch it, or neither one of those, you know. And then you can rate them and review them and all that. So, yeah.
Well, if it weren't for the fact that I'm already using IMDb for that.
Netflix, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, Netflix. I use the IMDb to find out if a movie's good.
Yeah. The thing is that until they implement the sort of automatic suggesting thing, it's really hard to remember every movie you've seen and go through and try to find them all. So it's the data entry is really painful for that. And I really think they should just... Why a movie and DVD separate? There really should be just video of all sorts, including TV and everything, and VHS and movie theater and everything. Then text of all sorts, comic books, regular books, everything. Then games of all sorts, board games, video games.
Well, I think that just goes way beyond what the guy who did Lestal originally expected to do.
I know, but it's called Lestal. He's got to list it all.
It's not called Lestal. It's called Lestal.
Yeah.
If it's Lestal, you get some spammer websites, like I said yesterday.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, the reason it's called Lestal is because eventually when he adds everything, then he'll add the other L.
Yeah, but, I mean, for now, you can type your own thing in, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I type something in one way and someone else types it in another way...
Yeah, but there are certain things that sort of prevent that. Like, you don't have to. You only have to type in the name of something. But like, here's an example. I was tagging all my books today, right? Because I was bored.
Yeah.
So I tagged some books as Dark Horse, because they're published by Dark Horse, whatever. I typed in Dark Horse. It found other people using the Dark Horse tag, and it modified my Dark Horse tag to match their Dark Horse tag.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
So if you typed in a game name like close to another game, it would be like, is it any of these? And there are certain like ID numbers they'll ask you to type. Like if you type in the UPC, it'll see if there's already a UPC matching that in the database somewhere, and then it'll just give you that one instead of, letting you make your own.
So that's good, because most of the games I own, I don't have UPCs or anything for anymore, or anything. I have a bare NES cartridge.
Yeah, that's the reason he wanted to not add this feature in the first place, but now he's got systems to mitigate the damage it will cause from having duplicate entries.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
But in the news, Microsoft, well, at least an analyst that may or may not have been paid off by Microsoft or hired by Microsoft, but some analysts out there, and this was on Slashdot, said that they expect that the Xbox 360 will sell 12 million units by the end of the year.
All right, how many have sold so far?
About 3 million, if that.
So they've got, how many months has it been since it came out?
A few.
A few, all right.
Not even a few, I don't remember when it came out.
It's March starting tomorrow. It came out in December or November?
I think it came out in late November.
So it's 3 months, 3 million? So at a million a month, they've got 8 months left in the year. That's they might make it. 11. Yeah.
I mean, basically, they're basically talking about how the only reason that the Xbox hasn't sold well currently is that there isn't any supply.
There's a billion Japanese ones. They could bring them on over.
Not even that. They keep saying, oh, there's no supply. You can't get them. You can't get them. They've been slowly making their way into retail spaces, and a lot of stores just have an Xbox if you go in there.
I haven't seen one. Every like when I go into stores, they barely have Xbox 360 games.
Oh yeah, but according to this study at least, many retailers have at least one or two base Xbox 360 systems.
Maybe people are just waiting for the premium ones, or anyone who wanted one pre-ordered and got theirs, because there weren't more than 3 million pre-orders. That's, you know, that's just nuts.
Yeah.
So all the pre-order people, anyone who wanted one, pre-ordered one and got one, and no one else wants one.
Well, I guess my evidence that there's really the demand is not as high as they're saying and that the supply is not affecting this as much as they seem to want it to be is simply that if you go on eBay and try to find an Xbox 360, premium or otherwise, there are plenty to be had, and they're really not going for any more than you'd pay in the store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just did a search just now. I saw 7, at least in a couple pages, just from a search of Xbox 360. They were the premium system. Some of them also threw in, like, 2 wireless controllers extra, or a game extra. They were going for about $400, $450.
I thought they're like $300 in the store.
What? For the premium? No.
No?
No.
But why are people buying these to begin with? That's way too much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see. It could be either way. I mean, at the rate of 1 million a month, if they keep this rate up, I mean, they didn't need an analyst to tell them that they'd sell, you know, 8 million more in 8 months. But at the same time, maybe there is no more demand. Who knows? We'll see.
I mean, I guess I brought it up not because this in itself is big news. I mean, analysts like this come up all the time. But just the fact that they keep trying to blame the lack of sales and the fact that there aren't any Xboxes. And I really think that even if there were Xboxes, it's not going to matter. Of course, then again, it won't matter anyway because the PlayStation 3, if anyone's to be believed, is going to be like 10 years late and cost $1 million.
Or, according to Sony, it'll be here like in a couple months.
Yeah, but Sony just said they're going to delay it, possibly.
They said we could delay it. Yeah, great. Good job, Sony. Whatever. Sony hasn't gotten anything right in years. What's the last thing Sony got right besides since the PS2?
There was that PS2.
After that.
Halo?
No,
that was
it.
Xbox. DRM? Oh, no, they got bad DRM.
They canceled the Ivo.
You know what? Sony was real good at not putting malware on people's computer. Oh, wait a minute. I guess they're not real good at that, are they?
Oh, they tried to come out with that little, you know, iPod competing Bean thing. Oh, okay, they canceled that one.
Oh, the fact that it took me that long to realize what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Sony's not doing well. The PSP, yeah.
Yeah, PSP.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear more about Origami, actually.
I guess
but I didn't see anything.
Yeah. We'll find out soon enough about the Origami.
Yeah, we'd better, because I'm actually a little excited about it, depending on how much it ends up actually costing and what it actually does.
I just figure, even no matter what it does, a smartphone like one of those HTC Wizard things is just as good.
Yeah,
in terms
probably.
Of what I want to do with it anyway. Anyway, so the real big news, everyone, is Apple did something today. Ooh.
Yeah, though it wasn't quite as ooh as I was hoping. There was actually
I think that's
nothing.
Why they didn't make a huge deal out of it. They sent like this little simple invitation, and you know, just because Apple, the internet, makes a big deal out of it, which
yeah.
Apple doesn't seem to care.
Now, my office made it work, and of all the things that were announced, the one thing that I was slightly excited about was something that wasn't actually announced. It was just a communication disconnect here.
Mm-hmm.
But my office mate at work he has a bunch of Macs. He loves Macs. So he's sitting there, like, in a chat room with people who are there with cell cams, like, giving him up to date. Steve Jobs just walked out. He said this.
Yeah, see, I just wait for people to type that in, and then when he's all done, I go and I read the whole thing at once. I don't sit there as they type it. That's just nuts.
Yeah. So, you know, it was, new Mac Mini. And I said, oh, expected.
The new Mac Mini is pretty good, actually. It's got more USBs, and it's wicked fast, and it's cheap, and it has Front Row and Bonjour on it. So now you can really plug it into your TV for some awesomeness. And the way Bonjour works, this is the thing where Apple computers or any computer with Bonjour, I'm pretty sure only Apple computers can have it, can like share their media. So theoretically, if you have a computer, let's say you have a superpower tower, whatever they call them, you know, the dual CPU thingies upstairs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you buy an episode of a TV show on the iTunes store. Downstairs on your, you know, your Mac Mini's plugged into your TV with Front Row. In front row, if you say watch a movie, the bonjour thing will connect to the other apples on your LAN and say, oh, there is a movie up there that we can watch. And that is French. That is why they call it bonjour.
That's your French impression?
I am not good at the French accent.
Wow. I don't even have anything to make fun of you for. Just, God.
Whatever. The point, that's, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, it's cool. It wasn't really unexpected. Like, it wasn't.
Actually, it was very expected. Everyone was like, new Mac Mini, hooray.
Yeah, so no one went, oh.
Yep, but it is a hooray Mac Mini.
The next thing was the person sitting in my office was like, he's called it a boombox because everyone said, oh, it looks like a boombox.
It is sort of a boombox.
Yeah, it's the hi-fi, the iPod hi-fi.
Basically, it's an iPod dock, and it's also a giant box with a bunch of speakers in the front that makes supposedly really nice sound. I think the box looks really weird and kind of strange. It doesn't look, I mean, it's white and apple-y, but...
Now, here's the two problems I have with it. I've seen things like that for a lot less money than Apple's going to sell this
thing
for.
They're a lot smaller and a lot less powerful. This thing's like $400.
Oh, yeah. This thing's big and expensive and powerful. But I'll point out that the media you put on an iPod is not always the highest of quality music anyway.
I think the point of this is that if you use this, it's getting the audio out of the digital iPod dock connector in the bottom and not using the iPod's chip to do the decodings. You're getting much better.
So how long until I get a Lixang or Chinese Korean knockoff bootleg dongle that I stick on the bottom of my iPod and get SPDIF out?
No, they already have the, what do you think my iTrip does?
Yeah, so, well, that then uses the FM modulation, which actually makes some, it really, really downsamples and makes some
there. Yeah, that's bad, but, you know, that's the point is, whatever. I mean, if you're reading the, if you're trying to get the audio out of the digital connector at the bottom that you use to dock as opposed to the audio hole, you're basically using the iPod as a hard drive and reading the MP3s off of it. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're not using the, you know, MP3 decoder in the iPod, you're using someone that you have somewhere else.
So I guess in that case, why not just buy a flash drive or a FireWire drive and carry it around?
The point of this is that this device, this big boombox thing, supposedly has really good sound. I'll believe them. It's pretty portable. It runs on D batteries, where a lot of the other ones seem to plug in. It's really big, which is not so good, but it's also a hi-fi stereo component. Like, you can... You know, you got your receipt, you got all your stereo components, you can put this one in there too to put iPods in.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's too pricey for me.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone spent $400 on it. You can get
I hate all those audiophile types, but I like my audio a lot.
You can go get this Logitech makes a thing that does the boom, Bose does too, where you just plug an iPod in and it plays the music and speakers.
Yeah, this wasn't, it was surprising. I didn't expect anything like this to come out.
Oh,
but
no, no one did.
It doesn't really do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the confusion came when my office mate turns to me and says, they're going to have an iPod Nano 5 gigs for $100.
And I was like, there's no way.
And I was like, if you can verify that, I'll buy one right now.
I was like, that makes absolutely no sense.
But that's a little fishy.
Yeah. How could they? Right now, a 4 gig one is $250. How are they going to save $150?
Now, what got me to where I almost believed it was that then he showed me this grainy cell cam picture. I looked at it, and it was a guy. It was someone on stage holding a Nano.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, hot damn.
Then I immediately took it. The conference was over by the time we found, you know, I heard this from him. So I went to the complete, you know, typing up report of the keynote, and I searched for the word Nano.
Now, there was, in fact, a product.
Yeah, I didn't see the word Nano there anywhere.
But it turned out there was, in fact, a new product. It contains the word Nano in it, and it is $100.
Mm-hmm.
It is a leather or something like that cover for the iPod Nano.
Well, it's also for the newest iPod and such. It's just a leather sleeve to put the iPod in. It's Italian, real high-quality leather from Apple.
It's $100.
That's what leather costs, I guess. I don't know.
There's
a huge freaking markup on it. You know it.
I'll point out that I for anyone who knows me, I haven't worn them in a while because I haven't been taking care of them, so they're sitting being soaking in oil. But I have some high-quality leather, like leather boots. They cost me about $150 total. There is not even an eighth of the amount of leather in this iPod thing.
Yeah.
Who would pay that much money?
You're paying for the little Apple logo on it.
You know what? Here. I just drew the Apple logo on a piece of paper. $50.
Trademark infringement.
Fine. Now it's an orange.
Awesome. No, but I mean, like, I will pay, you know, some money to get first party, you know, accessories. Like, if my car needed a part, I would pay $10 more to get a Mazda part as opposed to a, you know, crummy aftermarket part. Or if I wanted a Nintendo controller, I would spend $10 extra to get a Nintendo controller and not a Mad Catz controller. But to pay $50 more for an iPod sleeve that is not functional or more functional in any way than the $30 iPod sleeves I can purchase from various accessory manufacturers. Why the... What the fuck? Just because it... Goddamn. Who do they think's going to buy this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, from my perspective, it'll be another useful thing. If I see someone with it, I know that they're a fool who has easily parted with their money.
Or very rich.
Or very wealthy, in which case, maybe I can get some money out of them.
Maybe. All right. There is one more little news today.
Yep, last but certainly not least, because it's something I'm probably going to buy.
Yeah. Well, the DS Lite, which you may or may not know about, is sort of like the DS SP. And Lixang got their hands on one. You know, our happy importing friends, Lixang.
Yes, apparently, they said it was bright. You know, it's a play on words. It's light because it's lighter, and it's light because it's brighter.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest brightness setting on this new one is as bright as the current DS.
Yep.
And apparently the highest setting will hurt you.
It may burn your retinas. Well, the thing here is that they've actually increased the battery power output from 850 milliAh, whatever that milliamps, I don't know, to 1,000. So,
now, does that decrease the battery life, or is there a bigger battery?
No, it means that actually, if you keep the brightness at the same brightness, at the lowest brightness level, which is the current brightness level of the normal DS, you actually get a longer battery life.
Oh, so what? They increase the milliwatt hours then.
Yeah, and if you raise the battery life, if you raise the brightness all the way up, you'll get pretty much the same battery life as the current DS.
Not bad. Now, apparently, like Scott told me just before the show, they also changed the AC power recharging connector.
Yeah, see, Nintendo likes to keep the same connectors from system to system. Like the SNES, the N64, and the GameCube all had the same AV connector. And the SP and the DS have the same power connector. But the Micro obviously needed a smaller one. So now the SP, the DS Lite comes out, and everyone's thinking, oh, it'll have the same connector as the Micro. No, it has some brand new connector, so I guess they had to.
Yeah, I'm curious as to why. I want to see it. I haven't looked at the pictures of this yet.
Yeah, so it just probably comes with a new AC adapter. You can't use your DS one or your SP one.
Yeah, whatever.
Or your Lite one, whatever. Also, the you can't turn the backlight off all the way. Oh, well. The stylus is longer and thicker. I guess that's good for big American hands. I don't know.
I can make a joke about a penis, but...
Yeah. Oh, and here's the big one. You ready?
The big one?
The negative. There's a little... Over the GBA slot, there's a little cover.
Huh.
Which is good, because right now there's no cover on the GBA slot. It's kind of like, eh.
My GBA slot has never been unoccupied.
Oh, of course. But the point is...
I mean, wasn't it Taiko and Penny Arcade who called it, like, a second holster of gaming?
Yeah, of course.
Or, like, the second barrel in my gun of gaming or something like that.
That's exactly what it is
something
to me, too.
Something Taiko-ish.
But at the same time, it would be nice if there was, like, a little flap there or a little removable cover, you know.
Yeah, well, my cell phone even has a little tiny rubber thing that sticks in the bottom data port when I'm not using it.
Yep. So... It would be nice if there was a cover. And on the light, there is a cover. However, there's a problem. If you actually take the cover off and put a GBA cartridge in there, the GBA cartridge sticks out about a quarter of an inch.
Huh.
See, the reason there's a cover is because you're not going to want to keep your GBA cartridge in there constantly. You're going to want to take it out when you're not playing and put a thing in there.
I don't know what I think about that. Because currently, I keep two games in it, and I keep the thing in my pocket. So that way I just have two games with me. Or I bring the whole giant carrying case around. I'm not going to leave a game in it if it jumps out like that.
Yep.
But that means I'm only carrying one game with me, or I'm carrying all my games with me.
Mm-hmm. If you're carrying all your games with you, then the smallness of the light isn't really an advantage. You're really only getting a benefit from the brightness.
Well, basically, it comes down to...
And it's better looking, I guess.
For me, when it comes out, I'll go to the store and I'll look at it. And I'll probably buy it anyway, just because my DS, it's already gotten a lot of use, and I'd like to have a new one.
Yeah.
And I probably give my current DS away. I know a number of people who would probably be thrilled to have it.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, you know, my DS works fine, and I use it a lot, and I'd probably like to upgrade to, like, a Lite, because I remember when the GBA came out, and everyone had the SP, and I was like, oh, my GBA is just fine, and it was just fine, but
wait a minute, that's the kind of thing I usually say.
It was.
And you're the one who usually says, no, upgrade at all cost.
Well, because it was, there was no, you know, the SP wasn't really an upgrade, it was just the same thing.
I submit that the SP with its backlighting was...
But see, that's the thing, is I didn't need the backlighting, you know, just like I don't need the GBA cards to stick out a quarter an inch. But nowadays, my GBA is really useless, you know? So, I can't even play with it, like, I can't even use it to play Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles or anything.
Well, you scratched the hell out of your GBA, too.
Yeah, the other thing is that the GBA, using batteries back in the day wasn't a problem, but now the batteries are a problem, because nothing I have really uses batteries anymore.
Honestly, remember when I said I had all those interviews from KatsuCon and we couldn't play them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last device in our house that really uses batteries was that boombox we just threw away.
Yep.
The one that was full of batteries. It was also full of battery acid. One of the two was not inside of the other of the two, as it should have been.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, while I didn't want an SP back then, and it really wouldn't have helped me back then, it helped me now, and it's too late to trade in a GBA for an SP and get a discount. So maybe I could, if there's a really good deal of trading in a DS for a Lite, I'll do it. But other than that, maybe I'll just hold off and buy one in the future, or I'll wait until the DS Lite comes out with some great new colors, like if there's a green one or something.
So, things of the day. This is kind of an old thing. Well, actually, it's very old. I'm not going to talk about it much, but I think it's interesting, and any of you who play chess out there, and if you've not heard about this, you may find it fascinating. If you don't like chess, you will find this incredibly boring.
I have a feeling that people who like chess already know about this, and people who don't like chess have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, well, it's just something, it's not so much that I found out about it, but I found a transcript of it. It's called The Immortal Game, and basically it was a chess game between two semi-famous, very good chess players a long time ago, and the game itself is widely remembered as one of the most cool, interesting, and or strange games of chess that ever happened. That was recorded, at least.
What was so interesting about it?
I'm not good enough at chess to really say.
You can't even say one thing?
Well, I can say that the way the game worked out is it started out very simply, and then one guy set up this really cool, like, defensive wall diagonally, and they were jumping back and forth. Anyway, that's the deepest analysis I can give of it, not being very good at chess myself.
All right, can you at least say why it was the immortal game?
It's the immortal game because it's the most widely remembered, long-lived game.
All right.
That's the explanation I'd always been given. Because I had a friend back in high school who was really good at chess. Like, he competed in tournaments. He was really good. And no one would play chess with him because he just won. I mean, it'd be like us playing German board games with, I don't know, some 15-year-old we found on the street.
I hate people like that with the chess just beating you. It's kind of bleh.
What, someone's good at something?
No, because, like, usually when you play against a master, if you're an amateur, your random amateurness kind of messes them up. But in chess, if someone knows what they're doing, they'll just kick you.
Oh, no, actually, if you want to get into the details, it did mess him up, and he hated playing against me, because he'd win every time.
Well, then he wasn't a real master, because I know the real masters just kick your ass.
Well, no, because he wouldn't kick my ass partly on purpose, because, you know, that'd be an asshole thing to do.
Oh, okay.
But basically, it would screw him up, because I'm just kind of moving willy-nilly. And he just kind of, pieces would go back and forth. And once I got down to where I only had like 3 pieces left, or 5 pieces left, I could think real far ahead. And I could hold him off for a long time and do a lot of damage. But then he just beat me.
Well, because he only had 5 pieces left.
Yeah. And one time I asked him to go all out on me and not pull any punches. And he just creamed me immediately.
Yeah.
But anyway, this game, I'd heard about it a lot. He'd mentioned it before. A lot of people who played chess that I've known have talked about this before. And here it is. Here's a move-by-move transcript of this famous game of chess. I've got no more to say about it.
It's like a little video, maybe?
No video.
Maybe someone will make a video. We can watch it fast-forwarding or something.
Well, the nice thing about this site that I found is that it talks about this game of chess as though you don't know anything about chess.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's an interesting read, I think.
Mm. So, everyone here knows video games and cosplays and all these nerdy things. There's a girl in Britain, and she's kind of cute, kind of. I mean, her face is pretty cute. Her body's kind of normal. Whatever. That's not the point. The point is this girl cosplays. She cosplays specifically as Princess Peach.
Fairly well as Princess Peach, I might add.
I think she's just a Princess Peach fanatic. Actually, I'm 100% sure she's a Princess Peach fanatic.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is good. It's two more. It's
commendable.
Better. Yes. So she started an eBay auction today. For poses. You pay her money and she will pose in any pose you want.
Any non-dirty pose.
Yeah, so she won't show you her boobies or, you know, her bits, but...
Her boobies.
Her naughty bits.
You called them her boobies.
Well, if she's a Princess Peach, they're boobies.
Okay. What if she were Daisy? What would you have called them then?
Knockers.
All right.
So there you go. And you can pretty much, she has a lot of props, like she has bombs and question blocks. And
I saw a chain chomp.
Chain chomps. So if you, or mushrooms, I'm sure. So if you could tell her, like, I want you to pose, you know, smiling and holding a mushroom in the air or something like that. Or, you know, holding the rutabaga from Mario 2 over your head, like you just dug it out of the ground. And she would, you know, get a picture taken of herself wearing this cosplay in the pose you want and send it to you. So that was what got the internet-wide attention today, was
lucrative.
This eBay auction. But also, she has a nice little store. I think it's called Peach Paradise or something. And she sells all kinds of really good Nintendo stuff. Like, she had a Zelda pin that was kind of cool that I wanted. And, like, an F1 Racing Mario pin. And she had some gift-wrapping tape that had, like, little mushrooms and bloopers and all kinds of cool stuff on it. You know... I think I actually might go buy some of the stuff. It was pretty cheap. It was all in British pounds, though, so it's actually more money. And the shipping, because you know she's British.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe she'll go to an Otakon or something.
Yeah, right.
Hey, people from Japan came to Otakon 2 years ago just to see that band.
Yeah, we'll see if anyone comes this year. But maybe I'll order some stuff from this cool store before someone else buys it. I mean, I don't think her stock is too big.
No, and now that she's being hit by every freaking site in the world, including us.
Yeah, so that's all I gotta say.
All right, so moving on to the topic we said we'd talk about, and it's a topic that's generated a lot of anger here in the Geek House.
It seems to have only generated anger.
No, it generated a little bit of desperation, a lot of anguish, and almost a crying.
It got rid of disappointment.
Oh, yeah, disappointment. It also killed at least a couple hours.
Oh, yeah. But at least some of the, a lot of the hours it killed were me at work, so it actually saved me from some pain.
So, Penny Arcade has their card game.
Well, they don't really have the card game. It's more like they want to make merchandise to make money, which is cool, because that's how they make all their money.
Yeah.
And they decided making a CCG would be a good idea, or I don't know if maybe the other people decided it would be a good idea and asked them to do it.
But they have this game, and it's part of the Universal Fighting System by Sabretooth Games.
Now, the idea of the Universal Fighting System is theoretically there would be a CCG where you could collect all sorts of different cards from all sorts of different sets and mix and match them, and they would all work according to the same rules.
So right now, I could have Tycho versus Gabe, or Gabe versus Taki from Soul Calibur.
Yeah, when we bought this, you get a Gabe and a Tycho box. It's basically two boxes. One of them is Gabe and one of them is Tycho. And it comes, they're pretty nice little card holding boxes. They're really cute and they have lots of art on them. And
in fact, right now, we're going to talk about every positive aspect of this game.
The box it comes in is cool and the art is awesome Penny Arcade art.
Yep, I'm opening it right now.
It's
and
high quality
inside.
With a piece of Velcro. Hear that, oh, Velcro.
Yeah, the piece of Velcro is really key here.
There's a little card that's your life meter.
It's really thick in quality, and it's got art on it.
Yep, that's really good.
It even
good.
Says my character's name here. It says Tycho at the top in all caps.
Mm-hmm. The cards smell really nice.
Yeah, not as good as Magic cards, but definitely a nice smell here.
They smell a lot like Pokemon cards did back in the day.
There are some funny texts on the cards.
Oh, yeah, this one card here. Let me try to find it. Mind Leapin'. Mind Leapin'.
I don't know. My favorite card here is Skullduggery.
That has a good picture on it.
All right. This is one of the worst games I've ever experienced.
Oh, wait. It's better than Hellas.
All right, now see, I disagree on that point.
Okay, now wait. There's only one reason why I think this game is better than Hellas.
Because we did figure out most of the rules.
In Hellas, there are rules, questions that can never be answered because no one is there to answer them. Because the Universal Fighting System people at Sabretooth Games have a forum, all of the questions in this game are eventually answered.
Possibly. Because I'll note that they've stopped answering questions on the forum.
Oh, no, that's not true. Basically, they have people who staff the forums, like paid employees. And yesterday, there was a guy there, and he was watching the forums. Like, he deleted one of my posts because I tried to bump up a thread, and I didn't realize they didn't like it when you bump up threads. But today, it didn't seem like there was any forum activity whatsoever. And I'm sure when those people get back to work that the forum activity will continue. But there was, of all the questions, I went through every single card in this game and every single rule in the shitty rule book or rule paper, whatever you want to call it. And I found every single problem I could possibly think of. And there was still one unresolved question not because of anything in the rule book even, because they added a rule that is not in any rule book anywhere in the forum. So imagine if a game has just this rule that only exists in the forum and it's not even an errata. It's a brand new rule.
It's just some bits that you saw on someone's website.
Yeah, it's a brand new rule that's on their website and nowhere else. Like, oh yeah, there's also this rule. You should play with it.
Now, the first time we played the game, we were struggling through the rules, and basically at every juncture, at every point I tried to play a card, draw a card, do anything, there was a rules dispute.
Not only that, but if there wasn't a rules dispute, there was a feeling of, oh, that game mechanic is dumb. I understand it, and it's stupid.
Yeah, basically every turn would go along like this. I try to play an attack called Large Animal Tranquilizer.
It has the best picture on it.
Yeah. All right. So I have to make a control check, whatever. How does that work? I thought it worked this way. No, it actually works this way. Oh, that's kind of shitty.
Yep. Pretty much no matter what happened, we were either stuck in a rut of misunderstanding and confusion or dread of we understand, but it's terrible because the truth sucks.
We've never actually completed a game completely to the end where one of us was dead.
Yep.
The first time we played, the game sucked. Like, it really sucked. We won't stop playing a game, all right? This is one of the games. This and Goa are the only games we have ever given up on halfway through the first playing. But at least Goa, we're going to come back to because that was just a bad time to try to learn that game.
And it's a really complicated game. This is also really complicated, but this is complicated with no... It doesn't seem like there's a reward for your efforts. Goa, I think, is actually a good game once you understand it.
Yeah.
This, no matter how much you understand, the game doesn't get any better.
I mean, consider this. The first time we played it, the rules didn't work, and we couldn't figure it out, and it was not fun. So, we endeavored to learn how the game really worked, and Scott did all his research, and then we came back to the table the next day, or a few days later, knowing exactly how to play. And the game was worse, because now we were actually following all the horrible, arbitrary, crap, poorly written, infinitely adjectived rules.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are just so many things in this game. Like, they expect little kids to figure this stuff out?
Little kids, they expect me to figure this game out? We're freaking veteran German board gamers. We play games that say 4 hours on the outside of the box and do indeed take 4 hours. This game is not playable.
I think that as soon as I open up the rule, it comes with a little paper that you unfold with all the rules on it. And the rules are written so poorly. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. Like,
right. I mean, basically, the rules are really kind of meandering and slow, and they skip around. They don't explain concepts in detail. They don't use precise language, which is something
I hate. That's the number one thing, is the language is so incredibly imprecise.
I mean, look at a German board game. The rules will say something like, on your turn, you must do X. You may then do Y, if you choose. Mm-hmm. All right, so I have to do X, and then if I want to, I can do Y, but I can choose not to do Y. This game, there was none of that. It was just like some fifth grader wrote a paragraph on something.
Yep. It's like, I don't know how they it seems like they came up with a base idea for a game, and then he just kept piling stuff onto it.
Yeah, basically, my guess as to what happened is that they wanted this game, and they wanted it to be extensible. So they made the base game, and then they started playtesting it, and it seemed to work. Then they started writing cards and adding cards to the game. And I think every 10th card, they said, wait a minute, that card breaks the game. Oh, well, what if we just add this rule in? Oh, that fixes it. Okay. And I think they did that often.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess we could go into a description in great detail of the specific game mechanics that piss us off.
Why don't we? Let's All talk right. about... Here, check this out.
All right, so aside from the fact that the rules are unintelligible and that the people who made the game, Sabretooth, the people who made this goddamn game, cannot clarify their own rules in an effective manner.
All right, so let's start out with the first thing. The basic fundamental thing in this game is the control check.
Which, all right, it took a while to understand. Once we understood it, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just arbitrary, random, and silly.
Every card has... two numbers on it, one in the top left and one in the bottom right. The top left is the difficulty, and the bottom right is the control value, I guess. I guess that's what you want to call it.
Yeah, you know what? I call it the as value.
Yeah, so let's say in your hand, you want to use a card. The card has a difficulty of 4. If you want to use it, what you do is you take the top card of your deck and turn it over into your discard pile, and you look at the control number.
All right, let's say it's a 2. I didn't make the check. I needed at least a 4.
Yep.
So, I either have to use other cards, which I'll get to bring that number up to 4, but if I fail this control check, I have to discard the card I tried to play and the card I just flipped over.
Oh, and your turn is over.
Yeah, your turn's over immediately if you ever fail one of these things, too.
Yep, so you basically play things, you fail a control check, your turn's over.
Basically, every time you try to do something, there's a chance your turn will just end, and that chance increases the more things you try to do.
Mm-hmm.
It adds a lot of randomness into the game. It doesn't really add strategy. The most it adds is that you can risk trying to play one more card that you might not get out there.
I think the real point of it is that what they're trying to do is if you made a CCG where there's customizing and collecting and you don't add all this crazy shit like this, what happens is if cards just do something and have a base value to them, people will just select the best cards and make the best deck, and it will be easy to do so.
Now, Magic the Gathering solved this by having cards cost different amounts of mana, and you have to tap different lands to bring out cards, and more powerful cards took more taps to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
This game does it with a system I like to call random bullshit.
Yep. It's if the card is more difficult to use and more powerful, your chances of being able to use it are more or less. As opposed to in Magic, where you could eventually use everything, it just took longer and you would have to do it later in the game. So, yeah. It's not the greatest game mechanic, but what it does is it really makes you think when you're making your deck, because now you have to say, alright, let me use all these really powerful cards that have high difficulties. Oh, every single one of my cards has a really low control number. I'll never actually be able to get anything out. Now I have to take out some of these really great cards with high difficulties, put in some crap cards with low difficulties and high control numbers. Or, you know, there isn't even really a pattern to it. Like, some cards have high control numbers and high difficulties, and some cards are useful for blocking, so you don't want to actually use them. You want to hold them into your hand to block with them, and God.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that while they tried to balance the game, I don't think they really balanced it mathematically. I think they balanced it haphazardly.
They definitely balance it haphazardly. There is even stuff on the card that isn't used in the base Tycho and Gabe game, but is used in the customizable UFS.
So on my little Tycho Evil Genius card, it has little pictures on it. You know, like say it has a picture of a skull or a picture of a scale. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nowhere in the rule book does it say what these are, other than that they're not used unless you play with other decks.
They're used in the full UFS rules.
Basically, they're kind of like mana, but they're more like you have to have one of those symbols on your character card in order to play another card. And there's all these other rules involved. I'm not going to get into the details. Now, Tycho's deck comes with a card, the fruit fucker, that under those rules, he cannot ever, under any circumstances, actually play.
Yep. So if you were playing in a UFS tournament, you couldn't actually use the Tycho deck. You'd have to remove the fruit fucker and at least one other card I know of.
Yep.
That is just not legal according to their rules.
The rules that are online that are not in the rule book that came with the game.
And they're in the forums. And actually, there was one more problem that came up when we were playing just now. And I went online because I thought the answer was there. And I thought didn't know if I forgot it or not. And I could not find it. It's not there. Here's an example of something else stupid. So you have a card, right? And the card has an ability on it. And the ability says, do something with this cost. Then it says right under that, you may only, you know, do this under this condition, and there's a condition. It doesn't specify, because of the wording is so vague, whether that condition applies to just the ability above it or the entire card itself. It says you can't play this unless. Does that mean I can't play the card unless?
Which doesn't work.
Or does it mean I can't play the ability unless? The answer is it means you can't play the ability unless. But the typesetting didn't lend itself to me automatically associating that conditional clause with the ability because there was a carriage return.
Now,
and
also,
the wording didn't either.
There's this mechanic of you make attacks. That's the primary way to win. You attack the other person to do damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, attacks can be blocked. But get this, an attack can be high, medium, or low. And you can block high, medium, or low.
Mm-hmm.
And different cards have different attack values and different block values.
Well, only attack cards have attack values.
But... Well, yeah. However, the way blocking works is counterintuitive. Because basically, you take the number of the quickness on the attack card and add it to the number of the block on the block card you're playing. Then you have to make a control check of the number you just got and beat it.
So if the attack is fast and has a high speed value, you have to make a tough... It makes the control check to block harder. That's understandable. If the block has a very large number, that makes the control check to successfully block even harder. You would think that maybe they would just put a minus so that high block numbers would make sense, makes it easier to block things, not harder. But no, a block of plus zero is the best block that I've seen.
Now, the also net benefit of this, well, I guess not net benefit, but the exact opposite of that, is that blocking is apparently almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think an attack was ever successfully blocked without a special ability in any of the times we played this game.
Yeah, Tycho has the ability to automatically block an attack, but Gabe has a lot of attack cards, a whole lot of attack cards, and a lot of ways to attack multiple times and just get right around that ability. Like, he has an attack card, Mind Leapin', where he attacks, and even though if the attack is blocked, he can still use his enhance abilities during the attack to deal some damage. And then, if Tycho used his ability to block that, now Gabe can come in with more attacks and deal a crap ton of damage. And you can't block unless you have a block card in your hand.
And then you probably can't.
And even then, you can only block if your block is, you know, only one distance away from the type of attack. So if he attacks low and you have a high block, you can't block with it. And then you can only block if you make the control check. And if you don't make the control check, you have to throw the block out. So I had only one block in my hand and during most turns. So all Rim had to do was attack once, and usually I failed the block. And if I didn't, he just dealt a bunch of damage to me. It's like a race to do damage.
Now, all that aside, the game mechanics are kind of broken. The rules are vague and hard to understand. Errata is almost meaningless and hard to find. And it's just not fun.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a game there. You'd think if the game's so complex, there got to be some sort of strategy going on. Well, the answer is, a can of Coke could play this game, much like Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, the thing is, in Yu-Gi-Oh, I think the mechanic...
Well, yeah, the mechanic in Yu-Gi-Oh is draw a card, play a card, till someone wins.
Correct. So basically, in Yu-Gi-Oh, you don't actually need to have any sort of human thought. In this game, you know, there isn't a strategy, like decisions you have to make, but a can of Coke could not select the correct card from the hand to play.
Well, no, but I'll bet a monkey could.
A monkey probably could if it could read.
Yeah, basically, the only factor that decides who wins is 1. What cards are in your deck? 2. Do you, or what order do you draw them in?
What order are they in your deck? Because what you turn over for control also matters.
Because the decisions you make in this game, there are basically two kinds of decisions. You can make a decision that has a random effect on the game and may or may not help you win, but you have no way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make the correct decision when there is a choice. For example, do I play this attack card or do I not? And the answer is always obvious. And basically, you always make the optimum move, because if you don't make the optimum move, you're either not a sentient being or you didn't have the cards to make the optimum move.
Mm-hmm.
There's no game.
I mean, you basically, the hard part of this game, not that it's hard, is just paying attention to all the cards you have in front of you. If you, you know, someone will lose. Like, I had an ability on some cards in front of me that says, if I have more cards in my hand than Rim and there's currently a fight going on, I can deal damage to him for free. Of course, if that situation arises, I'm going to want to do that 100% of the time, and it would be stupid not to, because it's free damage. Why not? You know, he starts out with less health than me because Tycho has less health than Gabe. That's how the game works. So not dealing free damage is dumb. But the hard part is just remembering that they're there and remembering to use them. The person who loses this game is the person who just forgets to use all the cards they have available to them.
So at no point does skill enter into it.
Nope. All that matters is reading all the cards you have, knowing all the cards you have, looking at the other guy's cards, knowing what they are. You know, it's just knowing.
And spending hours actually learning how the rules work.
Yeah. If I bought this for a little kid, how the hell would they play? Like, a 15-year-old kid, how the hell would he figure it out?
You know what? They wouldn't care. They'd read the rules once, and they'd just play it wrong with each other.
Yeah, they probably would. I played Magic wrong the first time.
Really?
When we played Magic the first time, everything had Trample, and we thought Trample did something else. So, like, I would, because, you know, it kind of made sense. If I attack with 4 and he defends with 1, I do 3 damage. That made sense, for little kids.
Yeah.
You know, but then the second time we played, we went, oh, that's not right. And we fixed it up. But at least that was easy to fix. And we did that only with little tiny rule books that came with Magic. Think about it, the rule book that comes with this doesn't even come with an example of play.
Not a single one.
I had to go online and there was a shoddily written example of play.
It's rambling and arbitrary. The game is rambling and arbitrary and horrid. Horrid is the only word I can use to describe this game. I cannot stress to you enough, do not buy the Penny Arcade game if you have any intention of playing
it as a game. Well, the Penny Arcade collectible card game from Sabretooth Games using the UFS. There might be another Penny Arcade game.
In the future. This is currently the only Penny Arcade game that you can buy with money.
Oh, I think there is a video game with some Penny Arcade mod, but what? This doesn't count. No, that doesn't count. Yeah. This game is just bad. Bad.
Now, in addition to the game being bad, the website of Universal Fighting System, you know, Sabretooth Games.
In fact, the entire Sabretooth Games website
is atrocious. I don't think they know how to use these interwebs.
They can barely talk on their forums.
Yeah. They definitely did not hire good web developers or anything.
They seem to be pretty good at publishing games, though. I mean, this is well put together.
Yeah, high production values for the game. Too bad they didn't design a game for it.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if Tycho knows. Tycho's a gamer, and I'm sure he's tried to play his own game. I wonder if he realizes it's crap. He hasn't said anything about it.
Yeah, I'm really curious what they'll have to say.
I mean, if you really like Penny Arcade a whole lot, and you better like it more than we like it, and we like it a lot, you should buy this for the, you know, the art and the little stuff that comes with it.
And the Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro, man. Beat that. And the funny cards. But that's only if, you know, you never plan on playing it in the first place. You're just going to keep it there and look at it and have fun with it.
I mean, I know we're kind of ripping this apart, and people who listen to Geek Nights often know that we're kind of assholes about things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not kidding. We're not exaggerating. This game is terrible.
If anyone wants to, I will bring this to every convention I go to. And if you want, I will teach you, because I know all the rules now, I will teach you how to play this game and play it with you, much to your lament.
And you know what? If you cry, we're not going to feel sorry for you.
If you enjoy the game, I'll sell it to you.
If you enjoy the game,
for half price.
Tell you what, if you play the game with me, and you enjoy it, and you can tell me you enjoyed it with a straight face, I'll just give you mine.
Ah,
You awesome. Can have it, but keep straight face. You got to keep a straight face for at least a minute while you tell me why the game is good.
Yeah, and what you enjoyed about it. All right, so tomorrow is the much-awaited New York Comic Con wrap-up?
You know what?
Or
I
more
to
like
say,
a
beat-up
or
we
a
We kept
beat
talking
down.
About how we're going to do themed weeks. Well, it looks like this week is turning out to be suck week, at least for two of the days, because the Penny Arcade game sucks, and I hate to say it, but the New York Comic Con sucked too.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what some other podcasts are saying, especially comic-related ones, about the New York Comic Con. You know, of course, people who got in as opposed to people who did not get in are saying something different, but you'll hear all of what I have to say about my trip there and what happened tomorrow.
Yeah.
As well as...
The word debacle comes to mind.
Yeah, compare it to the 2005 U.S. Formula One Grand Prix. But also tomorrow, I'm going to teach you all about how comic books are distributed in North America and how it sucks.
Yeah, I'm holding in my hand a Bible testament to evil.
Yep.
Yeah, Previews Magazine, or Previews, whatever they
call
it.
It's a catalog. I don't freaking know. It's Previews.
Yeah,
Previews. Diamond Comics.
If you've ever heard of Previews, God.
Yeah, it's...
It's the Holy Bible of crap.
Just listen tomorrow, and you'll learn all about why comic books in the U.S. suck and how I think they should be fixed.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.